The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take a Stock. It's Thursday, the 10th of August, 2023. I'm joined by Cashmere John. And I like that. I like that. Listen, yesterday, make an effort, John. Bless you, John. This is Cashmere, I'll have you know.
Well, back to cheap cotton.
Yeah. There we are. Okay. If you joined us for the first time, by all means, let's shut this down. I've got something playing. By all means, comment if you could on YouTube there. Let us know, because what we're trying to do here is we're building up slowly and we're getting there. But we want to share ideas, investment ideas, macro themes, anything that will help us become better investors, essentially. And we got plenty of comments. And the question of the day today is AI. Is there a lot of hype around this? AI, of course. It's like the next internet, isn't it? .com. Do you remember back in the day when on AIM, I sort of started getting into small caps then, but during the .com boom, lots of shell companies or companies that weren't doing very well on AIM just changed their name overnight, .com, and it would rally very strongly. But they can't do that with sort of AI. But there are some real good plays out there, AI-wise, on the small caps. And I'm thinking you should have exposure to it because it's a major revolution, isn't it, in investment? Well, everything pretty much. Do you, by the way, John, do you have an exposure to any AI stocks?
Not specifically, not any of the ones that have, you know, specifically built their business around the provision of AI-enabled services. But, I mean, you know, you'd almost think that everything you've got in your portfolio now will have some exposure to AI. For example, I mean, I have BT shares for my sins. Mm. And waiting for them to recover. But you know, you've got to imagine that they're going to be embedding it somewhere in their business at some point. They have to. Everyone has to.
And do you know what? It's different. Everyone thought that, you know, these six or seven big players were going to take over the AI world. That's not the case now. And I read more about it. I'm listening to podcast stuff. And it's seeming like companies previously it was suspecting it was going to be, you know, harmful for, I think they're now going to benefit. Like, in fact, just reading that update yesterday from, like, you know, Gfinity advertising models, they're going to benefit hugely from AI. And if you've got a bigger scale, like Future PLC, in fact, BlackRock was just up there holding in Future PLC, but they will definitely benefit from AI now, because CPMs is like the A/B testing with AI models, seeing which gets better CPI rates. And so I think there's lots of companies that will benefit from AI, just becoming more efficient and getting more bang for their buck. So it's definitely worth having some exposure. I think it's two or three companies actually in the small cap space with AI. Exposure. Anyway, let's look at the quick markets. FTSE 100 down a tad. It's all down a tad. In fact, going against the grain, it has been. AIM has been doing a bit better than the rest of the market of late, but it's down a little bit more today, 0.23% there. And the survey here is pretty much, I can't believe it, over 50% of people don't have exposure to AI. I suppose you may do. You know, it may do it to a certain extent, but who knows there? But
There are a lot of companies out there that, you know, are using it really well. I certainly have considered a few of Intelligent Ultrasound, I think, is great. There's a bit of news out this morning, actually, that the government is going to be providing some funding to the NHS to promote the use of AI. Yeah. So you know, you want companies that are in those sort of sweet spots. I think healthcare and AI there's a massive overlap there. We've seen it with Paul Beck, you know, using AI to really advance drug development programs. You know, HVO has benefited from those sort of AI analysis of the human challenge models that it produces. And you know, we spoke about Lung Life earlier this week. You know, you know, all of these things. AI is a game changer for healthcare, I think.
Yeah, but do you know what? I just spoke to Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare SP Angel, and he was talking about Spectral MD. Now, this is a company I tried to invest in when they listed. I like them so much. They're funded pretty much by the government, BARDA, and they've got lots of revenue coming in. But they do burns, and they look at the technology looks at burns. If you're in, you know, have a situation where there's a terrorist attack or anything like that, or war zone, then they can analyze burns and can give a very highly predictive outlook or analysis on how to treat that burn. So sometimes, for example, physicians will treat a burn and it won't take. It'd be a waste of time, waste of money. And so their model is based on AI. It takes sort of images of a burn. But they've been taken out by a SPAC on the NASDAQ. And the price is £1.01 a share. Now, currently, let's have a look at where SM in, and I tried to buy them over a year back, and I couldn't get, Barclays didn't do them, my stockbroker didn't do them, which is annoying. Barclays didn't do anything listed in the US. And so right now they're 48 pence. Their takeout is £1.01.
It's odd.
So, and it's a very good company as well. So I think the 18th of August is the date they mentioned today on the RNS. But check it out. I mean, not just because of the arbitrage here, but you know, a potential doubling here of the share price. But I don't know what happens when, if you do buy them and then they become NASDAQ listed shares, how does that work then? I did ask Vadim this and he didn't seem to know. He said, well, most
complicated.
Brokers hold NASDAQ shares now. We'll trade NASDAQ shares.
Actually, one of our listeners asked us to have a look at this. Mm-hmm. You know, what I would say is that actually I would go to that thread. We should put it in the show notes afterwards. But he's looked at this situation in great detail, and probably your answers are in there. But it is a complicated one. But if you can't buy the shares, then you can't buy the shares.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, most platforms do them, but Barclays don't. Mine, so it's a problem.
It's useful.
But I think it's a really odd. And this company, literally, their share price is taken hammering because they had Reg S on them. That means they couldn't be traded in the UK after they listed for a year. And so you saw this company here going down from 61 pence to pretty much 27 pence. And now people sort of caught on to the story. And they announced this deal, in fact, when was it? On the 11th of April. If you go to the 11th of April, you'll see what the announcement was. A business combination agreement. This is with Rosecliffe. And like I said, the awarded $125 million. But essentially, they did say it values the company for $170 million, which is around about £1.01 a share on the NASDAQ equivalent. So literally, it's a good arbitrage deal there. So
I've got the thread. It's at lib_capital. Worth a look at that thread.
Okay.
All right. See some of the sort of what's going on behind the scenes of this shift to the NASDAQ.
Just quickly on the comments, we will catch up on your comments. If you put comments down there, we'll try and catch up on them. But we're talking about diversification yesterday. Investomatic says he has 12% of his iShares in MSCI World. Also, Informer says, why didn't John join in with a Destiny Farmer? Does he not like multi-baggers? He likes cashmere, okay? Drew, MJ Gleason, is another UK house builder that has good future prospects. It wasn't Persimmon came out today, didn't they? About one of the rivals today. I just want to look at their results here, because if you look at it, it's quite telling, because they're up today, right? But
only just.
If you look at their final results, right? Look at this. So you got that's down about, the revenue's down about 30. I did do the maths previously. I'm not this good in my head. 36% top line. But if you look at profit before tax, it's down about 65%.
Well, the bill cost inflation has been huge. Actually, what they're doing is taking a lot of cost out of the business. They've been reducing headcount, and they've been attempting to secure sort of cheaper supplies of building materials. You know, there's, again, I talked about this the other day, but you know, house builders are sort of battening down the hatches mode. These numbers are not pretty, and they don't bode well. The only thing that in those numbers that sort of generally positive is the fact that they're getting a higher selling price for their houses.
Look at that. How uncanny is that? So I said, right, if you do the maths on the profit before tax or after tax, 65% down, share price to date, down 65 pence. 65%, I mean. Exactly the same as their profits.
Mm.
So it's sort of priced in, I suppose, isn't it? If it doesn't get any worse. You know?
Well, I mean, the share price reaction today would, you know, to what are a truly horrific set of figures suggests, and I hate to agree with you on the use of the word priced in, but that it's priced in. You know, what's priced in is that this is the level at which the housing market has settled. What isn't priced in is if there is another turn for the worse. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's anyone's guess. Economic forecasting. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I read a great quote on that. That was J.K. Galbraith, the Canadian economist, said that the only reason for economic forecasting is to make astrology look respectable.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? It is very hard, and that's why it's worth keeping an eye on the macro. But like I said, if you get to, in fact, a typical example is that your ADF shares there, good company, and then you realize, hang on, if there's a strike going on, then maybe have a read across. But that's why I look at sort of, you know, Persimmon and all the house builders' results to see how the housing market is. But again, ADF, you know, in movies, they supply catering and all that, and all these sort of fancy trucks for actors. And of course, good company, and then the strike happens in America, and you realize, oh, in fact, it may take a bit of a knock. But I mean, you can't predict. Macro's hard to predict.
Some of it is. I mean, that, you know, the writers' strike and the fact that the Screen Actors Guild joined them was sort of something of a black swan. But, you know, you can sort of directionally see where things are going. But you know, sometimes things just take a twist that's beyond expectations. The unknown unknowns come and kick you up the arse.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, in fact, let's just finish off with some comments here quickly. Andy Gleason is Drew. Not sure what's going on with Plarium. Would have thought they'd been having more success monetizing their product. Me too. I don't understand that at all. Maybe it's a big capital spend at the moment. Someone said that. It's sort of, I don't know why I'm saying that. Alistair, who's, of course, a big Ondo holder, he did get a bit aggressive, I thought. And I said, if you get aggressive about a stock sometimes, you're probably overexposed because you don't want to, you know, you're scared of it being knocked. And he criticized us a couple of days back for our data feed. Mm. And he said, perhaps you should use more than one data source. We do. I use Vox. I'll use TradingView. John uses, what do you use?
SharePad.
SharePad. So we use three. And out of those three, it's only Vox that had the market cap of the company. I mean, and any financials on it.
Alistair does suggest we go to the reporting accounts. Obviously, the obvious problem with that is when you're scanning a lot of companies, you need all the information in one place. I have actually gone and looked at the reporting accounts of Ondo. And as I say, for those 18 months, 2.4 million in revenues, and you know, all the KPIs look nice. What I really would like to see, and I say this again, is the path to profitability. Because in those 18 months, Ondo lost, where was it?
About 4.6 million, I think, pre-tax profit. Pre-tax loss, about 4.6, I think it lost.
Yeah,
But Alistair, listen, I like the company. I keep saying this all the time. What annoyed me was when you go to their page and their financial results, there was nothing, literally, they were the highlights. And normally that's not how it's done. Yeah. You know, and normally you put your financial reports in there. Most companies put the financial reports in there. And all they did is the highlights package, and I had to go in this link here and search around the website for the results.
Yeah, 6.2 million loss before tax the year 31st of March. So, yeah, I mean,
I was looking at the cash flow statement, so that's 4.6, I think it was. But
cash is more important than reported profits.
Yeah, so what annoyed me is there's no negative in here at all, which doesn't reflect the business. There's no loss, there's no cash burn. It's all positive, and they had to go. That's what annoyed me.
That's fine.
I like the company. Look, the growth is very good. If you're looking at small cap companies, growth is what you want. It's very good indeed, and it's signing contracts and doing very well.
Yeah,
what I would say now is a lot of news come out, and they've not broken previous highs on news releases, so maybe it needs a breather.
Path to profit. I want to see the path to profit. As I say, that's all I care about. When is it going to start making money? Not revenue, profit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that aggressively. I'm just saying that's because what I would like to see of all companies that are pre-revenue. Where are the profits coming from, and when are they going to be arrived? You know, I just think that's fair on investors.
You've done very well by the sounds of it, Alistair. And it's a fantastic story. It's a good British company, patented, and with a global market. I do like it. It's in a big commercial, end markets, which are insurance about leaks and all that stuff. And so I do like it a lot. It's risen very quickly. There's obviously a couple of things that have issues with us all. And that's just show us, warts and all, your final results in the final results announcement. It would help.
Yeah. Warts and all, that's what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you're going to be making a loss when you're expanding that quickly. It's accepted.
Just before we move on, Justin, we just spoke briefly about housing. We did have a request via Twitter to look at Hargreaves Services, which had trading update out this week. Now, Hargreaves Services, you know, it's a very interesting business. It does all sorts of, you know, industrial services. But it has, this is sort of mechanical and engineer. It does a lot of stuff in infrastructure projects, you know, the earth moving for projects like HS2 and, environmental services for projects like Sizewell C, the nuclear reactor being built down the road here. But it's got a big land division is focus on regeneration projects. And I kind of like this approach to housing development, brownfield. You know, turning you know rubbish old land into to somewhere people can live. Hargreaves Services, you know, the shares have done really well in the last couple of days, helped along, of course, by my old colleague Simon Thompson, who likes these shares a great deal as well. But yeah, Hargreaves Services, really interesting company. Sort of MJ Gleeson reminded me of this. It's sort of house building with a twist. And you know, I think rather than those sort of volume house builders, this is the sort of housing opportunity we should be perhaps digging into a bit more. Shares are very cheap, less than 7x earnings, forecast earnings.
Okay. I do like the chart as well, because you see it's come down here from, you know, this, I mean, it's had a cracking rally from here, from £2 up to, when was this, 2021, £2 up to 5.76. But it's come back a bit of a sell-off there. Maybe worry about the wider sentiment.
They had a fantastic set of numbers in the comparable period last year, because they also have a commodities division, a materials division, which out in Germany, a joint venture, which amongst other things sort of produces, sells steel. So they had super normal profits last year. So profits have come back down to more normal levels. But, you know, this is a business that, you know, has lots of cylinders and it's firing on all of them.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Cashmere John, smooth as ever. what I like about the chart here, I mean, I always look at the 50-day moving average break, a break above that, and then a previous break of a previous high. So that's the 50-day moving average. It broke it here, and then you want a previous high because it didn't quite break it there. It did there on December 22, and it's in a bit of a range here, and then it's broken above that range there and just come back in. We're back at there, so that's nice there. I like my boxes here.
Yeah,
so, I like that. Okay, so it'd be nice now if it broke above that sort of their level. But, yeah, cool. All right, let's have a look at the front page of Vox here. Music Magpie. It's one of these businesses that I've never been convinced about. They've got revenue. It's been a debt there, I think, wasn't it? It was talked about on Twitter a little bit for a while, but I didn't feel like it had any... Look at that, it's come down. So Music Magpie is what? What do they do now? Everything? Phones?
Whoa, yeah. I first
send the CDs
company,
back.
I was buying secondhand CDs from them.
Yeah, I sold some secondhand. I probably sold them to you, John. What did you buy?
I can't remember. Lord knows. But yeah, so you know, it was just Amazon. I mean, I think they must have been through Amazon. It was an Amazon reseller, I think, for years. And now it's just a big business in its own right. But yeah, sort of buying and selling secondhand goods, all sorts of stuff, electronics. And what they've done today is basically, when you want to get rid of your old phone, you stick it in one of their kiosks that they're establishing sort of in various places. Today, where are they? So Trafford Centre, Asda, that sort of place. So you drop off your phone, get some cash. And then they do it up and resell it. So I kind of like it. I'm all for, you know, reuse. You know, let's not stick stuff in landfill. Let's not, you know, let perfectly good products go to waste. So, that you know, I like that. It's a nice ESG angle to this, environmental angle. But yeah, is it making any money?
Is that why they go for magpie? Because magpies pick up stuff and go back to their nest. And
I guess so. Yeah.
So a group revenues of 61.9 million. Now, there are 18 million market cap. Now, when you ever see that, you've got to think they're either making a big loss or they've got some debt, because they're only 18 million market cap. That's
half year revenues, they were. Half years.
Half year, yeah. So double that.
150 it did in 2022.
So essentially, when you look at it, wow, that's very undervalued. But you've got a net debt of 13.6 million. So they are in debt, you know, and they're making a loss as well. So, yes, they're making an operating loss.
Yeah, the profits really bounce around. It's really hard. Yeah. You know, there doesn't seem to be much stability and consistency there.
Yeah. So current liabilities. Yeah. So literally, they have total liabilities of 29 million. So, you know, the balance sheet is a bit. Don't be flattered by top line sort of massiveness of revenue when you know they're making a loss, they got debt. So that's why I didn't think it was that sustainable. But
selling secondhand stuff, I mean, you know, scale helps. There's a lot of people out there doing this. Lots of people out there doing this. Very competitive.
Yeah. Operating loss there, look, 2.4. I don't know if I showed that, but 29 million of total liabilities on the balance sheet. Okay, let's go back to the front page. This Music Magpie. I did talk about with Vadim Alexander, Spectre MD, covered that, worth listening to, because he's been talking about that for a long time. And in fact, that's why I tried to buy them over a year ago. I couldn't. But Lung Life AI as well, also worth a look into AI. You know, let's say lung cancer, the biggest killer of all cancers. And they've got a test that is 89% accurate, predictive on early stage cancers. Now, the problem with cancer is 80% are diagnosed late stage. And once they're diagnosed late stage, it's too late. You know, pretty much you can't do much with it. All you can do is manage it. So this test is amazing. They're only 15 million market cap, and the market size is huge. Sizzle also, I don't know much about Sizzle. I know they're in sort of cancer stage, so it's small cap, but
It's tech, you know, it's biotech with a sort of similar target that Lung Life has. So it's basically trying to develop a non-invasive and significantly more accurate test for lung cancer. So Lung Life is doing it through AI. These guys are doing it through a blood test. But they've identified a specific marker.
Lung Life is as well. It's a blood draw.
Blood test, okay.
That's used in conjunction with AI, because that's how they can map out the CTC cells, they're called, and they use AI models to map them out.
So it sounds like they're doing very similar things.
Yeah.
I mean, I would observe that Lung Life appears to be further down the route to commercialization. What I was really, Sizzle. I mean, it's interesting. This is university research. This is a business founded by I think it's Yorkshire Cancer Research and the scientists behind it. And it looks really interesting. You know, it obviously works. What I'd like to now see is what's the path to commercial revenues?
In fact, Lung Life, if you look at the background, it's from Mount Sinai. If you look at their board of directors, all the shareholders, it's stacked with all very well respected micro cap sort of investors, and I think that's why it's quite volatile at the start and less lack of liquidity, because there's not much free float around because it literally is hell.
One thing I would say that Sizzle, I know about Sizzle, if you actually look at its numbers, not spending a huge amount of money.
I think they licensed it out, didn't they? They detect to China or somewhere.
That's right. But the cash burn seems very, very manageable. But then equally, they need it to be because they haven't got a lot of cash.
Yeah, they raised 350 grand, which is, I think, a Lung Life had about 5 million, I think.
But
spike, though. It's one for a spike. It likes a spike. Look at that. From 1.5 to 4.5. Wow. Yeah, so there's a lot of hype in there.
It's good. I mean, it's been, this technology could really be good. Really, really, again, point of care diagnostics, early stage detection of various diseases is where we want to be. So these kind of things are exactly where the healthcare system should be going. Three cheers for their research. Now let's see how they turn it into cash.
Yeah. Frank says, let's big up Sizzle. Okay.
Just bring that Sizzle.
Frank, write in the section and comment there why you like it, why you think it's a game changer. Let us know, Frank. AI investor. I have Wisdom Tree AI ETF. Mm. Adobe will be big into AI. iShares EV driving tech ETF. Lots of AI players in that space. Yeah, there is a robot. If you go on BlackRock, there's loads of AI robot ETFs, autonomous ETFs, all that stuff. I prefer to look at individual companies.
I think those collective vehicles are a good way to play it. Because they're giving you access to the AI opportunity from all around the world. Obviously the US market is stuffed to the gills with companies doing this sort of stuff. More so than the UK. So I do like those ETFs. It was the robotics and automation ETF that really kicked this off a few years ago. That did really well.
IRBT, I think it's called. Anyway, Aterian. I keep wanting to put an L in there. ATN. Shy of 9 million market cap. Did a fundraising today, and it was at a premium to the previous thing. And what's nice to see is the executive chairman, Charles Brave, had a podcast a few times, chucked half a million in himself. I like that. When you see an executive chairman or CEO actually putting their hand in their pocket because they have confidence in the projects. And they've also announced of course, new copper projects and licenses in Morocco. There's a nice picture there. So, you know, you're thinking, okay, if he's put his money in his pocket, maybe I should have a look at the company, you know, because I do like that, do you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You always want to see some skin in the game. And again, you know, copper, forecast to be in deficit in the coming years. You know, we're going to need a lot of copper to get the energy transition through, you know, whether that's, you know, in cars or cable, undersea cables or whatever it might be. But also, it sort of goes back to the discussion we've had around mining jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. And Morocco is a good one. Morocco is a very, very friendly jurisdiction for the West generally, but therefore also for miners. So
yeah, absolutely. Most followed today, Blue Jay is down a little bit. Spectre MD is most followed again. They released that news today. Destiny's there again. It's up again today. Then Destiny.
Who is it now?
Tirupati receives payment. What's this payment for? How much is it? A million. Receive £1 million net of prepayment orders to be shipped over the next 6 months. Sizzle, we looked at that. Turn, board and management. Persimmon, we sort of looked at that. Power Metals, Iron, Battery Resources. How is Power Metals on the chart? I know Paul Johnson is a good promoter of that. He's, it's down. That's a trouble, see. China is a problem, you know. You've got deflation in China happening, and that's hitting a lot of resource commodity plays, all that stuff, because they eat up half the world's commodities pretty much. So when China's weakening, it's not good for the rest of the world pretty much.
No.
Else is there? Oh, by the way, this is I had these guys on the podcast, Silver Bullet Data Services, and they are into AI. They're so 6 million market cap. And they announced a trading update today, and they were like, before this rise today, about just under 5 million. But they announced, what is it? Is it the full year or is it 6 months?
It's 6 months trading update, yeah.
Yeah. 4.1 million, and of course that was around about the market cap. They are making a loss, and in fact, I did look at there. I thought, how is funding going? And I remember they did a convertible loan note raise, but again, I think half that convertible loan note is with one of the directors of the company. Keith. That's a proper name, isn't it? Keith Morris. All right, Keith. Yeah, he's gone for a quarter of a mil of convertible loan. It's Keith there.
Yeah, it's interesting company. This company. I mean, not one that I had looked at in a lot of detail before, but I spent a bit of time this morning trying to work out what it did mainly, and it's marketing services essentially. You know, tech-enabled marketing services. But you're right. It's using AI, and you know, actually, this is something that will be music to everyone's ears. They are predicting basically the disappearance of third party cookies. Hallelujah! You know, these things are.
Who's saying that?
Silver Bullet.
Silver Bullet. Oh, okay.
So you know, this is good, and it, you know, this is on the basis of privacy concerns. You know, privacy is the next big thing. So what they're trying to do instead with their product called 4D is using sort of context to drive advertising and how it's shown to people rather than cookies. You know, so that makes sense. I mean, you know, the cookie thing doesn't work anyway. I'm always getting adverts for things that I've already bought.
Yeah, but do you know what's annoying?
It's ridiculous.
I don't know if you've noticed this recently. It's slightly improving, the cookie thing. And I think people understand it. Because before, do you know, before, if you go to, say, a website, you don't want to accept their cookies. And there's no option. It says basically accept all or click here for more details. So click in and this box opens with all these little sliders on and you can't switch them all off anyway. And I think, well, I have to go back and just accept them all anyway. But now, actually, there is now options. They've obviously been under the cost. Regulatory wise, because there are options to reject all now. For a long time, if you try to find the reject all option, you just couldn't find it. Then you spend 10 minutes trying to reject the cookies and you forgot what you got, went to the website for anyway. What's going on here?
It's horrendous. It's you know, completely ruined the internet experience as a wasp. So I like the
wasp. I know a wasp nest at the back of me and a guy around you yesterday. Look at what they're everywhere. Hey, by the way, Silver Bullet, when they came onto IPO, I thought, I like the business. One of these ideas where it came to the market, you know, top of the bull market essentially, and I liked the concept, but the revenues were tiny. I thought, they're valued, that's way overvalued when they first came to the market, I thought. But that's when I've sorted that out, they're down below 10 million. So
growing quickly.
Yeah,
growing, a bear growing market. That top line quickly.
Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is, like, if you look at, you know, What was their losses there? Premium results. So they are burning a bit of cash. Reported loss before tax of 7.4. So it is quite chunky. That $500,000 convertible loan note, how long will that last? So I do like this, but I'm concerned about the finances there. So they have said they've reduced their losses considerably. But even if you considerably reduce them from 7.5 million, you're still left with, I don't know, they can't have chopped that in half. Maybe they have, but even then, they need more cash to cover that.
Yeah, so, nice client base, though. Really, really nice client base. Yeah. So big sort of global FMCG, fast-moving consumer goods groups. Really, really quite.
Or losses are UFO did a fundraise, Alien Metals. They tapped a different galaxy for that, but that was a bit of a discount. In fact, Entek is down after yesterday, but it rose nicely yesterday, but come back a bit.
I've noticed that with a few things today. That with a few reversals from very strong days yesterday. The thing that strikes me is very strange. I'm looking across, I basically make a list of all the companies I want to talk about. But, you know, on the AI theme, we've got Windward, which I like, which does sort of marine, maritime domain awareness and AI to support sort of compliance with sanctions for shipping. Streaks AI.
Streaks AI, which
had that contract with WeShop to use AI to help influencers promote products. And what was the other one I was looking at today? Lung Life AI.
And they're all down.
Yeah. They're all down quite heavily.
Lung Life is not, is it? Let's have a look. I thought Lung Life was up today.
6.5%, I'll make it down.
All right. But I'm showing that 10% up.
Crikey.
So there we are.
Take it to pieces again. Let's not talk about that.
To be honest, I think, it's up there. So.
I think I'm a percent from close. I thought it was strange. Okay. I wondered if there was something going on in the world of AI, some regulatory thing, but nothing to see here.
Okay, quick macro. Is there any chat there? Quick macro stuff here where is the news here? I've lost it. So three bits here I find quite interesting, right? First and foremost, house prices are falling. We know that. RICS have come out to roll into your chart and surveyors say today. The gauge has fallen to the lowest since 2009. It's a 15-year high. Apparently, rents are going up. Minus 53, their gauge, which is from minus 48 in June. So we're seeing this. And we are getting a lot of now historical figures coming out that chime with the 2008-2009 financial crash. We had the crash anyway. It doesn't matter. But that's because of interest rates. But also below that, what's quite interesting is this bit of news as well, which I saw from City AM. Brokers predict mortgage price war as lenders, including HSBC Nationwide, cut rates again. So obviously they're looking forward into the mixed rate, how interest rates will be coming down. And if you've got a mortgage that's 3 to 5 years, of course, then the interest rate will go a lot lower in a few years' time. So it's a blend of that. So that's quite interesting. That may help the housing market a little bit if you do have these, people warring over things. I don't know if you saw any macro points, John, but have you booked any holidays this year? Apparently people are booking late-minute holidays abroad because we've been washed out. But the market, it's on the turn, isn't it? And it's getting better, the weather, I think, now.
Yeah, well, it's lovely here today. I don't know how long it's going to last, but... I live out in Suffolk in a very touristy area, very popular area for staycationers. And it's been a very, the rain has kept people away for sure. Pubs are quiet, the campsites are obviously quiet. You wouldn't want to be out in a bell tent in some of the rain and wind that we've had. It's been torrential. I can see it. We had some results today from Hostelworld, actually, talking about travel. I was skeptical about this business, but it's a really really good company.
Yeah,
it's a really good company, and it's tapped in to a couple of trends. One is the recovery of overseas travel generally, and secondly the fact that people are feeling a bit worse off at the moment. So perhaps rather than staying in the Ritz with Cashmere John, they're going to Hostelworld and a hostel. Yeah.
Didn't you say once you went in a tent just in the middle of nowhere for your holidays?
That was last year. It was in Cornwall.
And it wasn't even a camping site. You just camped out rough, pretty much.
It was a farm.
Was it? But it was at the time we had the heat wave, wasn't it?
It was boiling.
I can't think of anything worse than that.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
You're just sweating through a tent. You go to bed in the night, you freeze your backside off, and you wake up the morning in the heat wave, you're sweating like a man. You go from one extreme to the other within, 10 hours. It's horrible.
Yeah. And I also, belying my Kashmir lifestyle, I stayed in a YHA youth hostel in Brighton quite recently. They were right. It was just cheap. It's cheap and cheerful. And
it's not cheerful.
It was bloody cheap. It was cheap and cheerful.
I find very often those things don't go hand in hand. Find something cheap and cheerful. When I go on holidays, right, I just want to upgrade my standard of living for a couple of weeks. I don't want to just be
that was an upgrade.
The tent. You haven't seen my house.
So going back to Hostel World and some business news. Good numbers out today. Share price a little bit soft, but really it's good to growing fast, and let's say tapped into a couple of trends, and I can see profits. I see profits, and that is what I like.
One of the ones I did dip into, when there's all rumours about the housing market going really well, I bought into sort of On the Beach, right? And they literally raised money at exactly the right time, just before lockdown happened or whatever it was. And they had 65 million in cash, no debt. And I thought, they're going to do really well, actually, because everyone after COVID are booking all the house, all holiday prices have gone up. They came up with the news. And they've got rid of all the 65 million on marketing, pretty much, for advertising, and they take them about 5-6 million in debt. So, the figures weren't that impressive either. They hadn't grown massively. They've done exactly the wrong thing completely. They managed to take on debt and spend. And like I say, the share price reflect that. I got out, took a bit of a loss, and now they're at that level. Look at that support level there.
It's a travel agent, essentially.
Yeah, it's online from travel agents.
They're up against people like EasyJet, which is moving, more aggressively into that space. Yeah. Full holidays rather than just, flights only. TUI, the big boys.
Yeah. They're offering to include there's more margin on luxury holidays, 4 or 5 star, and the lounge and all that. So they had a big advertising campaign over Christmas and that. And I kept hearing them on the radio all the time. So I did a bit of research. Thought, they could do well because a lot of people are booking now, doing holidays.
But it's been a tough summer. It's been a tough summer as well because of the, there's been wildfires in southern Europe, obviously roads being the most prominent. But, there's a bit of cost that they'll have to incur, the industry, as a result of this. If you want to go, package holiday provider, as a listed entity, Jet2 is hard to beat. That's a great company.
Yeah, but why I liked it on the market, on the beach for me, on the beach, is because they're a portal, right? They don't actually buy any holidays. They don't own any planes, don't own any hotels. So I thought they're quite a light, operating model. The portals like, Rightmove and all that kind of, I thought there's going to be another one of those, but there's too much competition there. And turns out you have to spend a lot on marketing to get your head above the water, to actually register on people's radar.
Yeah. I think just look back at history. They're not the first company to try this. Lastminute.com obviously was trying to do much the same thing. And there was another one, I think it was called eBookers. Yeah. If you look back in the distant history of the stock market. In fact, you almost have to go all the way back to the dot-com boom for that. They ran into trouble. Jet2, 2024, forecast early, PE 7.
Is it? By the way, we haven't covered. We should look at that. Check it. We didn't look at that. Is it worth coming now? We're over time.
We can talk very quickly about Check It. I wrote it up this morning. I like this company. It does basically connected workforce management. So it works with retailers, hospitality businesses, healthcare businesses, where you've got a lot of workers who don't have desks. Deskless workers. They operate around the business. And there's a lot of sites. So what this is a platform for connecting those workers and all those sites, to a central system so that, everyone can keep track of what's going on. Historically, quite difficult to manage. Growing quite quickly, that top line, lots of lovely big contracts. John Lewis was the one it signed today.
Yeah.
Big framework agreements. Got with Compass, which is a huge, huge, catering business. Contract catering for businesses and industry. So it's quite nice. And this is There are a few companies like this. Smartspace had some numbers out today, which is desperate.
Crimson Tide is a bit of that as well.
Crimson Tide is worth looking at in this space as well. This is a nice little niche.
I checked it for a while back. They have got some big contracts actually with big companies, but they've deliberately gone for the recurring revenue model. So their top line has gone down, but they've converted a lot of their contracts, I think, my memory serves
me right, yeah,
onto recurring revenue contracts. So even though you get less, it's more predictable and the cash flow is there for a longer time. So people like when you're valuing a company, of course. There's a broker forecast here from Singers here. I mean, what annoys me, not annoys me, but what concerns me, I mean, is that they are going to be making a loss, forecast loss in 2025. But nevertheless, they have, like I said, they have got like, 12 million of cash there, or 13 million of cash. So, you know, if you add that up, maybe that's enough to get to profitability. Who knows? I would like to see, when I'm looking at broker forecast, I do like to see at least the end column here showing a profit. So they're heading towards profitability. But,
I would tend to agree. That you know, profits are a long way off there, but you know, you can sort of see it moving in the right direction. Crimson Tide, incidentally, which is not dissimilar, is a lot closer to that level, that break even level. So, you know, perhaps that's the one to go for in the space. You know, they've
marvelous
got
profits
by 2024.
Cool. All right. That's it for Take a Stock. And what a day is it? It's Thursday. Last one of the week tomorrow. So take the day off. If you watch this on replay, join us live. Join in the comments. Hit that subscribe button. And we'll speak tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.